been given access to receive messages of clarity, guidance, and love. As channeler, psychotherapist, and author, Noemi Grace has an intimate dialogue with the divine on your behalf. Lisa Berry intuitively listens and expresses the deep questions on people's hearts and elevates the conversation, while Noemi Grace channels divine wisdom and expansive answers to your deepest questions. Each show's themes are related to self-love, self-healing, relationships, and personal struggles, offers tools that will lead to sacred stability and help you find your best solutions. Join us now as we give you access to angels and grace. Hello, everyone, and hello, Noemi. Welcome to the Guilt Show.
Oh. Hello, Lisa. Hello, everyone. Oh. This is actually one of my favorite topics, which might sound odd, but it really, there's so much goodness that can come out of sitting with guilt. Not blindly following it, but sitting with it, listening to it, and adjusting, listening, being with the discomfort.
Yes. And as we explore all of those things, we ask the question right off the bat in their show description, does your relationship with guilt cause you to suffer? And before we dive into that, I'm just wondering, I bet we might not even recognize guilt because it shows up in many costumes. As I'm so learning, I was like, wow, I would not have thought of guilt being intertwined in that kind of, let's call it suffering, but, you know, being uncomfortable, being held back, not living the life that we want to. I mean, those are all ways of suffering. But so when we ask that question, does your relationship with guilt cause you to suffer? I like for us to start with, what does guilt show up as? How can it show up as? And we can recognize it in our lives differently than what we think.
So you're saying the many costumes of guilt?
Yes.
All right. Why don't you throw a few out and then I'll add?
Okay.
What have you noticed?
I have noticed that, see, guilt I used to think was you did something bad, and I related it more with shame. You did something bad, you feel guilty, or, you know, you're guilty, you did that, and now take responsibility. However, and we hear about like, oh, I don't want to feel guilty, but that statement right there, that's one of the costumes that's showing up more and more in, I see it in my friends and my people around me in my own life, that guilt, one of its disguises is, I'm going to change my actions and do something differently than I really want to or would because I don't want to feel bad. I don't want to suffer.
Yes. Yes. And that's where the relationship with guilt gets distorted. It's like avoid guilt at all costs, especially for a lot of women, you know, and of course some men, but avoid guilt. I can't do that. I'll feel guilty. Yes. Sometimes I'll tell clients, and so you'll feel guilty. Yeah. What does that have to do with it? You know, like it's sort of like, kind of looking at that perspective. I can't do that. I'll feel guilty and say, so what if I feel guilty? You know, applying a what if to that, because, you know, usually what if that the way most of us use it is not very healthy, but applying a what. So what if I feel guilty? Oh, can't do that.
You're a bad person. So that implies you're a bad person. If you feel guilt, we have, I think, taken on that, like bearing the cross of I'm the worst person in the world. I am guilty. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Well, and that's, as you said, how you intertwine it with shame. And so, you know, from a psychological perspective, the psychological sort of understanding of the difference between guilt and shame is that guilt is I have done something bad. And shame is I am bad. And so, but yeah, we sort of sometimes can't discern the difference between them.
Yes, yes. And in that, when we can't discern that, here's another one, is that we haven't discerned that it's a suffering or feeling guilty. So what we also might do is prioritize others' needs. And that is because we think, oh gosh, I can't put my needs in front of somebody else because I'll feel bad or they'll think I've done something bad. And even though I haven't, I will feel guilty just by them thinking that I did when we haven't even done anything.
Or your perception of what they're thinking. So you feel guilty because you think you disappointed them, because you don't want to disappoint them, because they matter more than their perception, their needs matter more than yours.
You just brought something super, super valuable to mind here. Oh my gosh. Okay. So valuing. Okay. Wow. So I just clearly, I did something guilty this morning that I have an unhealthy relationship with guilt because I did this just this morning and you just helped me recognize it. So I have this incredible neighbor. She is just, she's 66 years old. She's full of energy. She's out doing her lawns and getting her gardens all beautiful. All this kindness. Like, she's just nonstop. And I'll be honest, I don't do any of that. I'm not a gardener at all. And as she was there, I was going to asked to borrow a little tool to trim back some things, and I went, oh, no, I am not, because if I break them or scratch them or ruin them or don't cut my bushes properly, I don't want to be involved in that, because I could feel really bad and not do it the way she would do it or ruin something. So I really need to trim the tree because it's encroaching over my deck. But I stopped myself from doing that because I didn't want to feel guilty if I ruined something. Or maybe we don't want to borrow somebody's car, or we don't want to borrow money or something, because eek, that guilt if something went wrong.
And that's perfect. Maybe the guilt of being in that position when it comes to borrowing somebody's car or money, the guilt of being in the position of needing to borrow money, not having the money readily available. So then that itself creates guilt. And so, there's so many things that we've learned to just attach guilt like a sticker on everything. You know, like you do stickers with little kids. Here's a guilt sticker there. Here's a guilt sticker here. It's constant.
Yes, I'm imagining somebody at the grocery store when they have those 50% off stickers and they just go smack, slap, slap it on. I'm like, oh, guilt, guilt, guilty, guilt, guilt, perceived exactly. Guilt. So with that, in our show description, I won't read the whole thing, but there are some points here I just want to ask the listeners here to tune into. We're going to be talking about today, and the divine, about a healthy relationship with guilt and an unhealthy relationship with guilt. So if we have an unhealthy relationship with guilt, these are some questions to ask yourself. Do you say yes when you really want to say no? Do you prioritize yourself, do you prioritize others' needs over your needs and dreams? This is a big one. Do you beat yourself up about past decisions? And do you find it difficult to forgive yourself? So even those ones, do you beat yourself up about past decisions? They're done. You've made them. Now we're stuck.
Yeah, that's a big one. I think we've all done that. We have all beaten ourselves up. We have all, had a habit of that probably at some point in our lives.
That's a pattern that we might go into, like, oh, I wonder if sometimes, oh, how about this? We actually say yes when we want to say yes, or we say no when we want to say no, but then we go, that's the beating yourself up apart. So maybe that's a pattern or habit that we've got too. Like, all right, I choose guilt.
That's a really good point. So sometimes I work with the client, psychotherapy clients, on interpersonal effectiveness. And part of that is saying, knowing what's like looking yourself first and saying, is this where I need to say yes? Is this where I need to say no? And then they say no because they answer the question, they get clear, no is the right thing. Somebody else is angry with them and now they regret. So now they have guilt for having made the healthy choice.
Yes.
And we've all been there.
Yes, we definitely have. And that's actually something else we're going to be talking about during this show is, okay, so you've said the yes and the no that you wanted to, but then you feel guilty or unhappy about that. But we're going to talk about how that actually is okay and how you can get through it, because we're so like, oh, I don't want to sit with that. Like, how can I make it go away? Okay, I'll do it. I'll do the thing that I didn't want to do and I said I won't, but now I will.
Yes. I mean, but, and so just knowing as you're starting to try to make those healthy choices, saying the no, because you really need to say no, because you have nothing left to say yes with. You can't do what's being asked of you, and then feeling bad about it. It's okay to feel bad after you said what was best for you and you chose what was best for you. It's okay. It really is okay to feel bad about that, because that's an old pattern. That's the brain being releasing the same, firing the same pattern in the brain, the same pathway in the brain that created you, created the experience of guilt in the first place. So you're still experiencing the old pattern within your brain. And it's going to take a while for the brain to stop doing that. And you have to help the brain by going, oh, yeah, that's the old guilt pattern showing up. It's okay that I said no. It's okay that I did what I needed to do for me. It's okay that I made a different choice this time. I'm feeling bad about it because that's an old pattern, not because it's a bad thing.
Oh, I love that. Not because it's a bad pattern, not because it's a bad thing. Oh,
it's an old pattern. It's an old pattern.
Yes. Yeah. Not a bad pattern. Oh, I love that. Oh, and with that, because I know there's some goodies, do we have time for you to share the pre-channeled message?
Okay, yes.
Okay. Because I think that will just set us up beautifully.
Yes. 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 So if you're listening for the first time, I sit with the divine, I sit with source, and I ask, I bring the conversation, I bring the topic, the theme that Lisa and I are diving into, I bring that to source, and I say, what do you have to say to start this conversation, to help us with this conversation? And so here it is, free yourself by redefining your relationship with guilt. Guilt is a major cause of suffering for many of you and a primary motivator. You suffer because of the presence of guilt, and you also try to avoid experiences you think will create more guilt. So guilt can be very present in your life and also something you're trying to avoid at all costs. Because of this dichotomy, guilt can become an organizing principle of your lives. You try to avoid guilt, future guilt, because guilt from the past causes you to feel badly about yourself, your choices, and your behaviors. Thus, you allow past experiences which triggered guilt to limit you in the present and future. Many of your present choices and choices for the future become based on avoiding experiences which caused suffering in the past, and that suffering continues today as you limit yourself more to avoid similar suffering. And then the avoidance of suffering also becomes an organizing life principle. So your life becomes organized to avoid future guilt and suffering. Yet, as you contemplate your life and future reflecting from a lens of guilt avoidance, that focus on guilt causes you to feel guilty. The best choice is not to avoid and also not to resist. Resisting guilt causes you to go into battle with it, as you fight the messages and lessons it presents you. Instead of avoiding and resisting, you must learn to be with guilt. Simply be willing to be with it. Then remove the lens of judgment you've been using to observe guilt. You feel judged by guilt, thus you judge guilt, fear guilt, and are extremely uncomfortable with guilt. Learn to be with guilt from the presence of compassion, from the perspective of compassion, especially self-compassion. When you develop compassion for yourself, you stop judging yourself. Then you can stop judging guilt. And you can be with guilt and listen to it from a neutral place without judgment, resistance, or avoidance. Simply listen neutrally, and you will find that guilt is trying to protect you from suffering, from betrayal, humiliation, and a host of other unpleasant emotions. But in doing so, it sets the bar too low. It pressures you to limit yourself more than is necessary or healthy. Instead of blindly applying its limitations, which are really only suggestions that many of you take as commands, learn to listen to the suggestions of guilt and evaluate them from the lens of with the lens of compassion and growth. Instead of trying to avoid suffering, learn to embrace growth, which is always available to you when suffering appears. Sometimes growth can bring pain, but those growing pains are present to help you free yourself from the past. In growth, you expand beyond the confines of what you previously thought was safe, and you take a risk to be more, do more, and share yourself more. This feels different and maybe a little scary, but it's like learning to ride a bike, which is often scary for a young child. But it can also become a great source of freedom after the child moves beyond the fear. Allow yourself to be with the fear and move beyond the fear to the point of feeling comfortable with the new growth. Yes, you also need to learn the lessons offered by past pains and presented by guilt, just as children need to learn to balance themselves on a bicycle before they can feel comfortable and free riding a bike. In a sense, being with guilt is like being with the bike. Freeing yourself from guilt is like freeing yourself from the fear of falling off the bike. You learn the lessons and move on, becoming more balanced and comfortable over time. When you can see guilt as a great resource rather than a judge and critic, then you empower yourself to grow beyond the limitations you have imposed on yourself and your attempts to avoid suffering. And then a whole new world awaits you in which you become free to choose what is best for you and your growth. And you also learn the lessons that the past presents to you. That is how you avoid further suffering, through learning from the past, not through avoiding the pains of the past, and also through knowing that more suffering will come and not fearing it. Learn to master stepping out of suffering. Redefining your relationship with guilt is an important starting point. As always, we are here to help you, and we are complete in great love, yet ever expanding. Namaste.
Beautiful timing. Oh, I love that. See guilt as a resource instead of a critic. And when we come back from the commercials, I have one juicy topic in there I would love to talk about, and that is, so let's go to, come back for guilt and limits.
Okay.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
My loves, you know you're here as a soul-led leader to transform this world through the sharing of your passions and gifts. You are here to be in your warrior of light and align your business with your highest self. I'm Rosalind Fung of the show Activate Your Soulgasmic Business. Let's elevate your business to the next expansive level. I invite you to flow into a business soul alignment discovery call with me at rosalindfung.com. That's R-O-S-A-L-Y-N, fun as in have some fun, F-U-N-G, and let's see how I can best hold space for you to align your highest self, magnetize your dream clients, and monetize on your soul mission. I can't wait to connect.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back, everybody, to Access to Angels and Grace. We have Noemi Grace and myself, Lisa Berry. Noemi.
Yes, hello.
Hello. One thing that's really big about guilt is it literally can affect our choices in life and for all of our lives. And I'm gonna share a story that's still in my life, and it's all good. But I'm learning by how we are sharing about guilt and what we're learning about. But limitations and limits, and saying yes when we want to say yes, and saying no when we want to say no. I want to share this with you is that I'm a big time cat mom. Like I'm a very over the top cat.
Yes,
mom.
She is.
Yes. And years ago, like many years ago, I wanted to travel, and I have two bangles, and they require a lot of attention. And so I thought, no, I can go. I can do this. So I hadn't left them for. I always had a pet sitter and everything for them. They were not by themselves. I flew off. I went to an event for a weekend, like 4 days. I came back, and my little Lucy had a stroke. Oh my gosh, the guilt, like the guilt. And so I thought, oh, it's my fault. I did this. And so I said no to many things that I wanted to say yes to for the next couple of years. And then finally I said, you know what? I think I can go to something. This is the thing I want to go to. It's just 2 or 3 days. I think I can do this. So off I went. Well, I get back and Lucy has a seizure.
I was like, you've got to be goodness.
So my guilt is now in. I'm validated. I'm proven. This is like I could never go again. And I'll be honest. This has guilted my future. I will never leave again until she's dead. I love that you said we can see guilt as a resource instead of a critic. So it's not that I need to not go or go, but what it is I don't need to feel guilty. It's a resource telling me, you know, let's consider this, but it's not critiquing me. It's not criticizing me. And that's where the shift is, I think.
That's a great example. And poor Lucy. She can't, you know, she misses her mama so much. She has doesn't do well without her. But it's, you know, so you don't have to, you've chosen to limit your choices to not go so many places while Lucy is with you. And yet you don't have to feel guilty about it. You can say, I'm doing this because you're doing it out of love. I know you love that girl. And and you're doing it out of love, and for her and for yourself. You don't want to come back and find her ill again. And it's not to be superstitious or anything, but it's happened twice. So that's something to look at. And so, you don't have to feel guilty about it, even though you're limiting yourself.
There's a freedom in it now because there wasn't, before it was, oh my gosh, I'm stuck in this house. I can't go anywhere. I could have played that. You could have, rolled that out that way. And
Poor me card. Yes. Oh, we got to do a show on poor me.
I will write it down.
Yes, the poor me card. And so, you know, the guilt, it's really something, because it's kind of a give and take. It's kind of a flow. Sometimes when I was starting to really say no, which I hadn't said for a long time in my life, I said too much no. And then I did feel bad. I said no to my mother one time, and I felt horrible because, I wouldn't share something with her that she really could have benefited from. And I said, I need it. I don't have enough. And that was really a time to feel, it was really like I wasn't willing to share it because I said, I'm finally taking a stand and having a voice. And and really the true place for me would have been to share it and to be able to accommodate not having as much as I wanted of that. And so it's not black and white, and it's really, it's so, you know, you think about, in that case, I thought about me. I don't have extra. But my mother was suffering, and she could have, this was a medication that would have helped her. And we were on a cruise, and she was, we were seasick. And I just had just enough patch for myself, and I get super seasick, and she wanted a patch, and I said, I don't have extra, I'm so sorry, let's take you to the doctor, and, you know, walk across the whole ship to go to the doctor, and he wasn't there. So, you know, and then I realized, you know, I probably could have used it for more hours than it said. I could have maybe myself take it myself to the doctor later, because I could walk better than she could, and the cruise doctor. And so I realized that, you know, I was trying to learn how to say no and take a stand for myself and not be sacrificed. But in that case, it wasn't black and white. Her needs in that case actually were greater than mine. So it's really, it's learning to be with that guilt and evaluate and see, what do I need here? Okay, what does the other person need? So it's not always now going to be me. Sometimes it's going to be, I'm going to give the other person's needs in this situation are more important than mine. But if the person, when I was ruled by guilt, I would have given it to her immediately. It would have been, of course, don't worry about if I have enough. And so it became, it's like, not always the other person's needs are more important. Not always my needs are more important. It is learning, being able to be present in the moment and sit with the guilt, see what it's saying, and then also see what's the truth. What's my truth? What's this other person's truth? How can I help them? How can I help myself in help and help them? You know, like putting the oxygen mask on first. So it's really a journey.
That is a perfect, perfect story. And I love how the pendulum swung both ways. Like, had you not been expressing your new voice on nose, you would not have thought about that. Well, I could make the patch maybe last a little longer. I could walk and get this thing. But if you say the no, then you have that guilt. So, the question came if you're ready to
have a ready.
So yes. Here is the question. Okay. While we are learning to sit in the guilt and express our own voice, our new truth voice, how do we distinguish between, let's call it ego, like, no, I've said I'm going to learn how to say no, so I'm saying no, and now we're committed to that. How do we distinguish between that it's truly a sitting and listening and expressing our own voice, or if it's our ego sneaking in and saying, no, I refuse to and avoid feeling guilty?
That is such a great question. How do we experience ego, you know, ego's voice? How do we distinguish ego's voice from our own, from our true voice, you know, in this, as we're learning to sit with it? Yes, because, you know, the pendulum often swings to the other direction. And that was my ego saying, it was interesting, it was a very astute observation there, Lisa, that was my ego saying, I have a voice. I'm considering my needs. I need this. I get very seasick. You know, but yes. Really, if I ran out of the patch, I could have taken myself to the other side of the ship much, much easier than my mother at that point, and seen the doctor and paid whatever to get the patch. So it's learning to have that balance where that discernment, it was ego, it wasn't the true self. It was, because afterwards I felt bad, but I looked at that and I said, yeah, it would have been best to give her one patch, you know, and if I needed more, I'd have to get it myself. So how do we distinguish ego's voice from our true voice, from the true self in as we're learning to sit with guilt and listen to it and evaluate and choose what's best for us? Okay, so this is such a great question. I can't wait to hear what the source has to say. So if this is the first time that you're listening in, I will take a moment. First, I'm going to grab a swig of water. Then I'm going to take a moment to just get a little more get silent and deepen the connection with source. And we all have a connection with source. It's like a channel that's always open on source's end, on the divine end. And I'm just going to deepen that connection, and I'll greet them and turn it over to them, and I'm going to hear what they have to say. That's always good. Hello, Divine. So grateful for your help with this topic. Is guilt is such a big one for so many of us. And then the ego, how do we distinguish that ego voice from our true voice as we're learning to be able to choose what's best for us? It really is such a learning. So happy to hear what you have to say. And we are so happy to be here and to answer this question and to share with you some nuggets of wisdom, some pearls for you. This subject is really important because so many of you are ruled by guilt. Guilt is the boundaries that you establish on your life. Those boundaries are not healthy boundaries. Those are guilt-laden boundaries. And so you must learn to discern the healthy boundaries, to discern what is best for you. And if you have been listening to guilt as your true voice all your life, it will be a work. It will take some time for you to recognize that that is not you and to really hear your own voice. So you have the voice of guilt that limits you. Then you have the voice of ego that asserts itself in some way. Sometimes it asserts itself in keeping you silent, because you may have the silent ego, the ego of the person. You might be that person that doesn't feel comfortable, that doesn't feel confident, that feels shameful, and so you silence yourself. That ego, the guilt, silences you, but then the ego is hand in hand with the guilt, silencing. And then you have sometimes the ego saying, say no, say yes, say this, say that, do this, do that. And it is important as you're sitting with all of these voices, which are, it's not that you have all these voices in your head and you're some kind of schizophrenic, because you're not. It is that there are all these aspects of you. There are all these things that you carry with you, and guilt is something you carry with you. It is not part of you, but it has been attached to the function of the conscience, and the conscience is what keeps you all from destroying each other, and it helps you to build each other up. And so the conscience is very important, and guilt has become attached to that, like a barnacles on the ship's hull. It has become attached, and the way you listen to your conscience, the way you understand your conscience, is through this voice of guilt that has become attached, that has now become sort of the mouthpiece of guilt. A mouthpiece of the conscience, rather. The guilt has become the mouthpiece of the conscience. And the conscience is much deeper than that. It has much more depth, much more wisdom, much more understanding. And so recognizing the voice of guilt, which is easier to recognize than the voice of the ego, because the voice of guilt has been running, you're aware of it. Oh, I would feel guilty. Oh, this makes me guilty. Oh, I feel guilty now. I did that. You know the voice of guilt. So recognizing that and being able to sit with it and dialogue with it and seeing what is the gift in that voice. What is it trying to tell you? All of the things that you try to avoid, guilt, anxiety, fearful things, they all have something to tell you if you would listen to them. Even depression has something to tell you if you would listen. And so here we are, here you are with guilt, sitting there listening. And then this other voice pops up, and this is another aspect that says, say no, say no. Now the ego itself can become assertive. The ego might have asserted itself to always say yes, and now it's decided that you've changed your stance, and the best ego stance is to be always saying no. And so learning to listen deeper than the ego. If you feel this sense of power that comes from, like, power over, that is a sense of I have the power to do this, and it's there's a strength to it, but it's not the heart strength. It is not a loving strength. If there is no love, no compassion, no kindness, no gentleness attached to that voice, that is not the true self. The true voice, your true voice, speaks in compassion. It speaks in love. It speaks in kindness. It never judges. If there is judgment, that is the number one hallmark red flag of ego. And so if there is no judgment, if there's harshness, it's ego. But if it's poor meanness, it's ego. Poor me is ego. All of that is ego. Learning how, what do you feel when you are about to say that? When you are listening to this voice, learning to sit with your feeling. Does it bring you peace? Does it bring you a sense of fullness, of wholeness, of freedom, of kindness, of joy, of all these divine attributes? If it brings you some attributes and it always brings you peace, the true self brings peace. Ego stirs things up a lot of times and can create turmoil. Ego means well. It just doesn't know how to create lasting peace. It's not part of its bailiwick. So understanding that how you feel will help you to understand who's talking. Listen to the true self. You will always feel the peace along with it. We have so much more to say, yet we are aware that it is time to complete this transmission, and we are in great love for you. Namaste. Whew.
That was beautiful. Wow. And yes, we're going to dive deeper into that. But before we go to the commercial, I'll leave the listeners with this one thing that I just loved that you just channeled, Noemi. It's, we can tune in and say, how do you feel when you're about to say that? Does it bring a sense of freedom? And then I added, or imprisonment, like holding you back. So how do you feel when you're about to say that thing, that?
And the sense of peace. The sense of peace is always there.
Yes, exactly. So we'll have everybody kind of think of that as we go to commercial. When we come back, we're going to dive even deeper.
Deep dive. I love it.
Conscious media for conscious minds. OM Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, lightworkers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach Rosalind Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindset and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spot that activates your soulgasmic business by tuning in on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Mountain. Join me for your light language activation and let's magnetize and monetize.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg roll showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Wonderful. We are all right now learning how to develop a healthy relationship with guilt. And this is my favorite part, is that question, and actually while you were channeling, this came through, is the gift in it. What is the gift in guilt? And when we were writing the show description, you know, I love that it's the gift in guilt, and we worded it a little bit better, I think, somewhere, but guilt shows up as like, ooh, you might feel bad if you proceed with this. And I know this because in the past, you've done this and you felt that way. So for me, when I'm using that, I'm like, oh, okay. So guilt is actually just like, oh, remember, you don't want to feel that way. They didn't feel so good. And we just left, you know, before commercial break with asking, like, how do you feel when you're about to say that? And so if we have that thing like, ooh, if you can just pause for a second and listen and tune in and say, ooh, I'm getting that feeling like I'm not going to feel so great if I move forward with this action or words. And then we kind of go, well, where do we go from there? Like, you're like, wow, I'm in the position of making a choice. I'm about to take action, but the guilt showed up. And so there's a gift here. How can we best be in the moment and then hear it and then do the thing that's uncomfortable maybe?
Well, that is a learning. That is a practice, being in the moment and listening. Because there's so many voices in the mind. It's just always chattering. It's like a bunch of seagulls on the beach when there's like some little clam or something that they are going for. And they're making that noise, that squawky noise. And they're all the cacophony of it all. So it's kind of it is a practice. And for me, meditation helps me to get to that still place where I can hear that small voice, that still voice. So if you have this powerful, overpowering voice saying, you gotta do this, you gotta say no, you gotta say yes, for me, that's a pretty red flag that it's probably ego. Because the true self, as I said, brings peace. There's a stillness with it. There's a unshakable stillness. Ooh. Yeah, this stillness that doesn't change, this peace that doesn't change, this kind of unshakable peace. It's this, and so it's, you can start to distinguish the feeling. And I used to think that strong power, when I would feel that power rush, that had to be what's really right for me. But now I've learned to stop and go, wait a second. This is probably ego. Maybe it isn't, but it probably is.
Yes, that is so tricky, you know, because that can show up in many different things. Like, pushing our will, like willpower. That's the word I'm trying to think of. You know, willpower. Because there are some things that we really, really do want to do or not do, and it's that, I love that that's the feeling we want to come to. So let's just have it, you know, we can always all imagine a situation that you're like, wow, I'm feeling really guilty. But I know by doing this, even though so actually here it is. Naomi, does the guilt show up and then we then use it, we listen and then we make a decision and then we do that. And then if we do feel uncomfortable with it, but we still know it's the right thing to do, then we love it. We offer it compassion. But if we don't feel good about it, then we can maybe revisit that action and see how we can balance it out.
That's a great point. So this is a revisiting with that lens of compassion that was in the pre-channeled message with eyes of love, not a revisiting to beat ourselves up. Oh, I should have known better. Why did I say yes to that thing? Why did I stay up and binge watch something till 1 a.m. and not be able to sleep or whatever it is? Why did I know better than that? You know, and it's looking at it with compassion. Okay, I found it really interesting. And it wasn't the best choice, but I thought the trade-off, I was willing to trade off sleep for the show, and I'm just making this hypothetical thing up. But you know, so where we can sit with it and see what, you know, if we're willing to sit with that without beating ourselves up, we can now see it in a different way. We're able to see the things that we didn't see.
I'm floored right now because, Naomi, I did exactly what you said last night, and I never do that. I can't believe
I'm psychic.
You are psychic. I can't believe
that. No, I'm not.
Because you know what's so funny? I am so adamant. My ego steps in and says, I am going to bed. I don't care what. It's the middle of a show, an event, a thing. I'm like, no, I go to bed at this time. And yes, last night, I just lost track. I looked at the clock and I went, it is not. And it was only 11, by the way, everybody. But it was 11 and I went, oh, and I panicked. And I was like, how could I do that? Oh, no, I needed to be sleeping by 10:30. Now I'm not going to get. And I was really exactly like what you said. And then, you know what I did? I stopped for a second. I thought, wow, I'm must have been thoroughly enjoying that, because I would have fallen asleep every other night on any other show, right? And I thought, oh, but so I was happy. I was interested. I was curious in this. So was it really all that bad for me? And I, that's interesting that you said that exact thing. I'm laughing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, and sometimes, since we're talking about shows here, sometimes usually my husband and I have a series that we'll watch one episode of each night.
Yes. We're,
this is our version of binge watch, you know. And sometimes it ends at this, you know, cliffhanger. And he's like, we're not going to watch another one? And I said, look at the time. I can't sleep without knowing how this is going to, you know. And then I'm like, so sometimes I'll say, well, you watch it and I'll watch it tomorrow. Other times I'll say, okay. And now I'm up later than I want to be. And then I'm like, why did I do that? And, you know, but that as soon, but it's very interesting that I used to then say, I know I'm not going to sleep now. And then I wouldn't sleep. Now I've switched it to, okay, I probably should have listened to myself and gone to bed, but I'm ready for bed now. I do a little meditation and I go to sleep. So, because I'm not beating myself up for it. So I'm able to sleep.
If you're able to do a mini channel, if we could, just to poke
yes,
it.
Yes, it's going to have to be a short one. Yeah, here,
this
yeah.
is a
but
good
yes,
one.
Yes, I want to. Yes, the vine is saying, yes, yes, yes.
And this is the perfect one. So how do we listen to the voice? How do we have a healthy relationship with guilt when it is for another person? It's not, I feel bad I did something that I'm like, wow, like what we did. We do something for somebody else and we know it was to their benefit, but we still don't feel good about it. We know we were helping, we were trying to be compassionate and do that, but we still feel guilty because we have some consequences that we pay for or anything like that. How to handle that the best with compassion and no judgment and love.
So we've prioritized someone else's need over ours.
Yes. And we know it felt good, there was peace, but we have guilt. We're beating ourselves up still.
Yes. Okay, turn it over quickly to the they say breathe. Okay. Divine is not quick about things. It's very, they're flow through things, so they're flowing here. So there's plenty of time, they said, so. Whatever choices you make, learn to accept them. Learn to accept them. Don't reject them. Don't judge them. This is a learning that may take many of you a lifetime, but it is worth learning. Accept that you valued someone else's needs over yours. Sometimes that is the best thing you can do. Sometimes that is self-love. Sometimes that is self-kindness. Other times it is not. So whatever choices you make, recognize that you're still learning. You're learning, you're growing, you're understanding things, difference is growing. Allow yourself to do things that you would call mistakes. Of course, we never call them as mistakes. We never label them mistakes, but allow yourself to do things that you would label as mistakes and be with it. And be willing to find the gem in it. Be willing to find the gift in it. If you are willing to find the gift, the gem, the gold in that so-called mistake, you will free yourself by making mistakes. It is not that you free yourself by always doing the right thing, by choosing the best thing, the highest thing, always, always, always. No, find the gift in everything. Have this as a mindset. Have this as a mantra. Today, I will find the gift in everything. And so when you can find the gift, when you can see the gem in that poor decision and see, and learn from it and grow from it and not keep repeating the same poor decision over and over and over again. And we say poor decision because you say poor decision. We are not calling it poor, but you call it poor. We don't judge any of it. This is not where we live. We do not live in the land of judgment, but you do. And so learning to change, to differentiate, to see things with non-judgment, to see things with compassion, to see your choices through compassion and eyes of love, and seeing that everything offers you a gift. Everything. The most painful thing offers you a gift. The most mundane thing offers you a gift. Being that hunter of the gift. But not that it takes all this effort. Just awareness is all it takes. Being that person. Learning to become aware that there's a gift here. So whenever you have made that choice where you've prioritized someone's needs over yours, and now you feel bad because you feel that I didn't take care of myself, that's okay. See it with eyes of love. Let yourself know that you will take better care next time, or at least that is your intention, and you will arrive at the place where you are taking better care, even if it isn't next time. It's all okay. Be okay with it all. And then you can free yourself. And when you are okay with whatever choices you made, with whatever results have happened, and know that there's a gift there, seek the gift, and you will free yourself with that gift. And imagine that. You will free yourself with those mistakes. You will free yourself by prioritizing everybody else over yourself, because you will learn from that, and you will shift, and you will grow, and you will make different choices, and you will stop making choices that hurt you. But you can be free, learn freedom through making choices that hurt you, if you see the gift in them and learn the lessons in them and choose differently. This is enough for now, but it is so, with so much love, we present this, and we ask you to start to see yourself from love, because this is the way we see you, always, always, always. In great love, we are complete. Namaste. Ooh, wow, you asked for short, and they were short.
It was succinct as well. I love that. And I love the quote, if we can all take this, and maybe this won't be one of our Facebook quotes, is, today I will find the gift in everything. That our mantra, you know, try to make this your mantra.
Yes.
And I like that. So every time we kind of get frustrated, we get hard on ourselves, or we're judging ourselves, we think, up, today I will find the gift in everything, including this. And this is just a learning pattern for me. Maybe the next time, maybe not the next time, but I'm still learning. And as I'm learning, I'm going to make different choices, maybe. Maybe.
Yes. Yes. It's like finding the gift, learning the lessons, and free. I like that. You free yourself by making poor choices. They said we call it poor. But free yourself by I have to go listen to it again, but it was sort of like freeing yourself by making choices that aren't the best for you, by learning from those choices.
There's a quote about success, is that if you're successful all the time, you actually never learn anything. It's through failing that we do. So that kind of reminded me of that when that came up. I liked it.
Yeah, I think it was Helen Keller that said success is going from failure to failure, or, you know, failure, and then you will find yourself in success.
Yes, because you know what's neat is every time we do make a decision that frustration or being held back or all those things, that's actually, again, another little lesson to show up and say, you are recognizing that it is not in alignment with you. Otherwise, you'd just be on your merry way. So the little grunts or sadness or upsetness are kind of like, wow, I do know what's right for me and what's not.
That's so affirming.
Yes.
When you feel that when you feel that icky feeling, oh, I'm feeling this because I do know what's right for me. Okay, I didn't choose that, but I know what's right for me. And so it's sort of like reframing that yucky feeling into, oh, this is me telling me that I know what's right for me.
Yes, exactly. So this is a beauty. This is the gift. There's the gift in guilt, everyone. So I love this. So perhaps we will do another show in the future on Poor Me. But if you are loving this and you like to hear about this guilt or Poor Me or anything else, please leave us a comment right here on either Om Times or whichever platform you're watching us, or come on over to Facebook and find Noemi Grace or Lisa Berry and share with us this. But this has just been such a learning week. I am a revealing week for me, Noemi. Thank you so much for talking about guilt.
Oh, absolutely. And I want just one last comment is that this is not about being guilt-free. This is not like the Weight Watchers dessert that where you can have be guilt-free. It's about being with the guilt and freeing yourself through being with guilt, but not yes. being free of guilt.
I love that. Thank you for that. That was beautiful. And this is another great quote. All right, everybody. Mm-hmm. We look forward to being with you each time. And thank you, Noemi, for allowing Source and Divine to share with us these words.
And thank you. Thank you, Lisa, for doing this with me. I couldn't be sitting here talking for an hour. You bring so much to this dynamic, this trio that we have here.
Yes.
The trio.
The trio.
I'm so grateful for this opportunity every time.
Oh, so beautiful. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Noemi. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.